Everything has to be under the microscope. You can't, you just can't say willy-nilly, we're just going to get rid of, we're just going to exempt all this.
The administrative state has taken on what were traditionally or what should be responsibilities of the legislature, and we are starting to take some of those back.
This bill is exploiting families who are facing, you know, raising a child with Down syndrome for a political gain.
But if they strike it down, it'll be on the governor's desk before the end of the year.
We will resist any actions that they take, and we'll continue to appeal to the General Assembly or others to correct what's been going wrong in this process.
Will this go to the Ohio Supreme Court?
Absolutely.
Perhaps the most controversial item included in this year's giant budget bill was a plan to freeze Medicaid enrollment for the expanded population. Deciding to expand Medicaid in Ohio under the Federal Affordable Care Act is a seminal part of Governor John Kasich's legacy in office. So, with his veto pen, he struck that provision out of the budget.
We have 700,000 Ohioans who have been able to benefit from expansion. It's been able to bring into our state nearly $300 million just in Medicaid expansion alone.
And it wasn't just the Medicaid expansion freeze. Kasich vetoed 46 other measures from the bill, many dealing with Medicaid. And a lot of the provisions dealt with shifting power away from the governor's administration and toward the legislature. This set up a showdown between Kasich and the General Assembly, and the House didn't take long to make their next move. They responded by overriding 11 of those vetoes. Most of those overrides dealt with Medicaid, such as legislative approval for funding changes, seeking more flexibility on charging premiums, and increasing a tax on health insurance to generate local revenue. Republican Representative Ryan Smith of Bidwell believed these overrides displayed an important function of the legislature.
It's not about winning and losing today. It's about exercising the checks and balances that government has. It's also about giving a voice to the people.
This was the first time the House ever took a vote to override a veto from Kasich. Those 11 House overrides made their way to the Senate, where the chamber officially implemented 6 measures Kasich didn't want. Republican Senate President Larry Obhoff echoed the House's sentiments about the power struggle between Kasich and lawmakers.
The administrative state has taken on what were traditionally or what should be responsibilities of the legislature, and we are starting to take some of those back.
This was the first time in 40 years that lawmakers had overridden a budget veto. Other vetoes still stand, though several have apparently been resolved through ongoing talks. For example, the House overrode a veto to let the General Assembly appoint members to an oil and gas commission. They said 6 years had gone by, and Kasich had yet to appoint people to the panel. The Senate didn't act on that, but now Kasich has named several appointees to the commission. Another dispute was over attaching a franchise fee to managed care organizations. This would patch a budget hole for local governments left behind when the feds eliminated a tax on Medicaid managed care groups. The now eliminated tax brought in about $207 million annually. Instead of overriding the veto and allowing for the franchise fee, lawmakers met with several groups and approved a one-time transitional fund of $50 million. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Kenny Yuko said the fix still isn't enough to prevent cuts to local public transportation.
There's going to be some of our constituents who aren't going to have access, whether they're people with disabilities or senior citizens or our students, and that's going to cause problems.
The freeze on Medicaid enrollment for the expanded population could still be overridden in the next year. House and Senate leaders have said the freeze would be helpful in the event that Congress repeals the expansion down the road.
At the beginning of 2017, Governor John Kasich wanted another personal income tax cut, offset with tax increases as part of the new state budget. But with a looming $800 million hole in revenue, that didn't happen. Lawmakers ended up approving a $133 billion budget in June that lowered taxes for farmers, lifted a freeze on tuition at state colleges, and allowed video poker games at racinos. The budget also included changes to Medicaid, Kasich rejected those as part of a record 47 budget vetoes. Lawmakers overrode six of those, but not the one to stop a freeze in the Medicaid expansion enrollment. That could be overwritten at any time before the end of 2018.
Plans to reform congressional redistricting and cap high interest rates on payday lending loans were discussed but didn't move much. Another is a bill to fix the fund the state uses to pay jobless benefits. Republican Representative Kirk Schuring says it was crafted after long negotiations with labor and business.
So I took the liberty to take what I heard and I digested that. Then I put my twist to some things.
But it still hasn't passed. Other stalled legislation includes bills to bail out struggling power plants, to allow dogs on restaurant patios, and to make it illegal for a company to require an employee to get a flu shot.
The court struck down three provisions of a 2014 state law on cities' use of traffic cameras, saying it violated their home rule rights. The justices upheld a law requiring people living with HIV to disclose their status to potential sexual partners. The court split over a ruling saying juvenile courts can dismiss sex charges against a child under 13 if the kids involved in sexual conduct were close in age. The court has allowed the state to start pulling back money from its monthly payments to the Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow because of questions about student attendance, but has not indicated when it will hear ECOT's lawsuit against the state. And Justice Bill O'Neill has said he's in his final days on the bench. The court's only Democrat will leave January 26th to run for governor, and Republican Governor John Kasich will select O'Neill's replacement.
Ohio Right to Life is perhaps the most powerful lobby group at the statehouse these days. The Republican-dominated legislature has passed nearly two dozen bills that restrict abortions or funding for them. The latest was the Down syndrome abortion bill, which Governor John Kasich signed into law Friday. NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio's Jamie Miracle isn't surprised Kasich signed the bill into law, and she's not happy about it.
This bill is exploiting families who are facing, you know, raising a child with Down syndrome for a political gain, to really say, you know, we're going to use your family and not help your family. This bill does absolutely nothing to help families raising loved ones with Down syndrome.
The bill marks Kasich's 20th action restricting abortion rights since taking office, but it's not the only one he signed in 2017. Earlier this year, when the new budget was signed, it included a provision that gave money to women's health clinics that didn't provide abortions. There are some other bills that came close to passage. Take, for example, one that passed the Senate that bans a common procedure used in second trimester abortions. It was hailed by its backers, like lobbyist Barry Sheets with Principled Policy Consulting.
Ohio needs to go further and intercede to keep this barbaric and inhumane practice from continuing in our state.
On the other side, women dressed in costumes from the popular TV series The Handmaid's Tale packed a committee room during the bill's hearing. That series featured women who were forced by the government to act as surrogates without their consent. That effort was spearheaded by Stephanie Craddock Sherwood.
When abortions are needed later in pregnancy, it's often in very complex circumstances. The kind of situations where a patient and her doctor need every medical option available.
The Senate passed that bill, but the House hasn't picked it up. Ohio has half the number of abortion clinics it had in 2010 when Republicans won the governor's office and majorities in the State House and the Supreme Court. In September, the Ohio Supreme Court heard arguments on a case that could determine whether the only abortion clinic in Toledo is forced to shut down. The question the court is considering is whether a state law passed in 2013 is constitutional. It said an abortion clinic needs a transfer agreement with a local hospital, like an eye clinic or a plastic surgery center would have. But lawmakers also mandated no public hospital can enter into such agreement with a clinic that provides abortions. Jennifer Branch, who represents the Toledo Clinic, says that means women there are being denied their constitutional right to an abortion.
In Toledo, none of them would step forward and enter into a contract with this provider. Because of that, they're being denied their license to provide abortions to the women in Northwest Ohio.
Mike Ganadakis, president of Ohio Right to Life, says the restrictions in question are constitutional, and he says it's important to remember lawmakers are doing the will of the voters who elected them.
What our legislature has done is a clear example of elections have consequences. If you elect a pro-life legislature and a pro-life governor, you're going to get pro-life laws. We're at the lowest level of abortions in our state's history. We've went from 16 abortion clinics. We're at 7 now. Hopefully we'll drop it to 2 more if we can get the Supreme Court to rule in our favor.
That's not the only abortion case the state's High Court heard this year. Another involves a Cleveland abortion clinic that questioned the process for allowing these restrictions as part of a budget proposal. Attorney Jesse Hill argued it violated the state's single subject rule.
If that's what the legislature wants to do, if the Ohio General Assembly wants to pass these bills as standalone bills, it is entitled to do that. That is not our argument. We are focused on the process by which the legislature snuck these provisions into the Ohio budget bill without public scrutiny or debate.
Again, Ohio Right to Life's Ganadakis makes this prediction if the court rules in preterm of Cleveland's favor.
But if they strike it down, it'll be on the governor's desk before the end of the year.
The court has yet to make decisions on those cases, though it might do that soon. Joe Ingles at the Ohio Public Radio, Statehouse News Bureau.